Well, good evening. It's good to see you all here tonight. I trust you had a good afternoon of relaxing. It's good to see you back in the house of God, worship Him. And thank you for those of you that were able to make it to the viewing tonight for a cookie. And I know if you weren't able to, I know you probably wanted to be there. But we had a good number turnout. And again, the funeral will be tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. at Purvis Funeral Home. And then again, we will be feeding them at 1 p.m. here at the church around 1 p.m. And if you can bring whatever you can bring for that, would be appreciated. Tonight we're going to be in John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, continuing on the first chapter of John. And not necessarily going to go through the whole book of John, just to let you know right now, but just felt like this is where God wanted me for a few weeks. And so that's where we are tonight, in these four verses, 10 through 13. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the love you give us. We thank you for the forgiveness that you give us as well. God, we are not deserving of anything that you give us. We're not deserving of eternal life, not deserving of abundant life, not deserving of any kind of life. But by your grace and mercy, you give it to us anyway. God, you love us so much, you care about us so much, and I just pray that tonight we will turn our attention and our devotion to you. And as you did this morning, that you would speak to our hearts again this evening. That whatever is said, God, I pray will come from you and flow from your throne and will be your words. And God, you would speak to the heart of every man and woman and child that is here tonight. We love you, God, and we praise you, and we praise you. Bless the reading of this word now. And it's all these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. You may remain seated tonight as I read. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. May God bless the reading of the word tonight. To those who would believe. This morning we talked about the light of Christ. And sometimes we hear about being the light. That Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and we are to be the light of the world. We are to shine our witness. And as Steve mentioned about what kind of light are we being to the people around us. We hear so much about the light. And a lot of times that does refer to you and I as Christians, that we do shine that light of Christ to other people. Again, I think the more realistic thing is that it's the light of Christ shining on us, reflecting to others, and it is that witness that we give to them and that purity that God gives to us by His grace and mercy and salvation from our sins. But we do shine that light out to them, to the lost world that we are in. And I think also, though, as we saw this morning, that Jesus is the light. That He is the light of man. That He is the light of the world. He is the light that shines into the darkness. And it is His light that floods into the world of darkness and it dispels the darkness, makes it rhyme. And I, as I said this morning, there were many that did not understand the light. They didn't comprehend who Christ was. They didn't understand that He came to save them. They didn't understand that He was the Messiah. Because you remember many people, the prophecies of the Messiah in the Old Testament, many of the Jewish people in particular, the ones that would have studied it, felt that Jesus, the Messiah, they thought the Messiah was going to be more of a militaristic type of king to overthrow the Roman Empire and bring the Jewish nation back into prominence. And that's not what Jesus was about at all. It's not why He came. He didn't come for political and material, military reasons. He came for spiritual reasons, to save the lost people of the world from their sins, to save the people from their sins. And not just Jewish people, them first, but to Gentiles, you and I as well, that are not of Jewish descent. We are part of that promise, and that was who Christ was. That was His light. And there were many that did not understand that. Many didn't know that. But we look again tonight in this chapter. We come to verses 10 through 13. And tonight, as I said, the title of my verse, as I mentioned a minute ago, is To Those who believe. That's the title of the sermon. To those who believe. Because we look at this, that this is about receiving Christ and believing in Christ. That's what tonight's message is about. It's what these four verses really, to me, bring out into our understanding. But first of all, in verse 10, it says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. I've mentioned in the past few weeks about, especially when we go back to verse 1, John chapter 1, verse 1, and we talk about He was in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, that He was Creator. He was there at the time of creation. He had a part in the creation. We think, we know of God, we know of the Trinity. We don't always put Jesus there, but He was. He was there at the time of the creation. He created the world, and it's mentioned again here in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. He made everything that we know, including ourselves. He created all things. And yet He came into the world. Even though He created the world, He came into the world in which He created. And everything that we know, everything that we see, that was made by God, made by Christ, Christ came to this. Christ came as a living, breathing person. And I think even in that, we lose sight of the fact that Christ was human. He was a man, just like you and I are men and women and human. Christ was. Yes, He was God, but He was man. And even though He created the world and was God in that sense, He was man in the sense that we are. He came to us. He walked among us. Verse 10 tells us, He made the world and He was in the world. He came here for the world. But it's interesting in verse 10 also, it tells us that the world knew Him not. And in a lot of ways, I've got to hear my outline as the irony of creation. And that the Creator makes the world, and then the Creator makes Himself to be part of the creation, and then He goes amongst His creation, and they didn't know who He was. And that, in a lot of ways, is ironic, isn't it? I mean, it would be as if, you know, if we created robots or whatever, and robots were able to think, and they didn't know who we were as we created them. We brought them, we put them together or whatever, and they didn't know anything about us, which I guess that's the way it is in some ways with robots. They're not intelligent beings. But it's that idea, or I guess maybe a better illustration would be, what if you had a child? Whether you're a man or a woman, and you know, as a woman you gave birth to a child, or as a man you fathered a child, and that child was adopted by someone else, for example, and that person grew up and never knew who you were. You were biologically the person that brought them into the world, but they never knew you, they never met you, they never loved you, never knew anything about you. It would be that kind of understanding, or even worse, what if they came into the world and you raised them in their house, they still didn't know you, still didn't love you, still didn't, you know, all that thing. I mean, what if you had a child that you had a part in bringing that person into the world, and they didn't know anything about you, they didn't accept you, they didn't receive you, they didn't want you to be their parent. And listen, I know every kid in the world at some point in their life says they hate their parents and don't want them. I mean, we've all said that, okay? I know, I guess I told you before, I used to run away when I was 5 years old. We had a stop sign about a quarter mile down the road. If that, maybe, it probably was, I don't know, it wasn't even a quarter mile probably. It was probably 500 feet. I'd make it to the stop sign and that was it. That's as far as I could go. I mean, my dad'd be mowing, wouldn't even pay attention. He knew I wouldn't run away, But I get mad. I didn't hate my parents. I didn't want anything to do. And one day I got brave and turned the corner and walked down to the people's house. But it was just the same distance, just that way. You know, I still didn't make it any farther. I never made it outside of my dad. But anyway, I hated my parents. You know, we all did, right? We all hated our parents at some point. But we never, well, we loved them and we knew it was just part of being a kid. But what if they really didn't want you? What if they really didn't want to be in your life? And that might be the reality for some children and parents. But you had a part in creating them. And that's the point. How devastating would it be that you had a child that you brought into the world and they had nothing to do with you? They didn't want anything to do with you. And I pray that no one is experiencing that, but there are people that experience that. And that's the same thing. Christ created this world. He created you and I. He created the people that He lived with. And yet they didn't understand who He was, and they didn't receive Him as who He was. I mean, His own people didn't believe in Him. And it's not really chasing a rabbit. It goes along with the story, but if you think about the death of Lazarus, I mean, John 11:35, one of the most popular verses in the Bible that everybody quotes, Jesus wept. And everybody wants to say it's because Lazarus was dead. He cried because he loved Lazarus, and Lazarus was dead, and he was grieving the loss of Lazarus. And I don't think so. I think the reason he died is just what we see here in verse 10. He loved the world, he was in the world, and they didn't know him. That's why Jesus died when Lazarus, Jesus cried when Lazarus was dead. Because Mary and Martha didn't believe. They said, remember they said to him, first thing, if you would have been here, he would not have died. And they didn't believe he had the power to resurrect Lazarus. They didn't believe he could do it. They didn't think he could do it. That's why they said, if you'd have been here, he would have lived. They didn't say, oh good, you're here, he's going to be resurrected. They said, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And all these people were grieving, thinking Lazarus is gone, never coming back. And that's why Jesus wept. Because they didn't know who he was. They didn't believe who he was. He was in the midst of his creation. He was part of his creation. He walked amongst his creation. And yet, they did not receive him. They were oblivious to the fact that the King of Kings, was among them. You know, we can blame the early people, not the Christians, but the people that lived in the time of Christ, the Pharisees and others that rejected Christ and did not believe he was the Messiah. We can blame them and think they're foolish and that they, you know, how could they be so dumb as to overlook that? How could they be so ignorant? You know, I was talking to some people today after the service, and we kind of said the same thing. You know, if Jesus would have been born in our time, you know, I don't know that it would have been any different. I don't know that we would have accepted him. We probably would have thought he was a rebel. We probably would have thought he was cuckoo. We probably would have wanted to kill him. We wouldn't have let him in our church. I mean, he was not the conventional person. He wasn't. We would have done the same thing, treated him the same way they did. Now, there would have been some that followed him, but many of us would have done just what the Pharisees and other people did. We would have rejected him. We would have thought he was crazy. Because, and it's not that he was, it's just he did things the way God intended, and the people that time weren't doing things the way God intended. He showed the true way. He showed the light, and they were in darkness, and they didn't understand him. They didn't know who he was, and so they didn't receive him as the Messiah. And in this, like I said, today, I think in some ways I say if he would have lived today, it would have been the same way, but he is alive. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He still works in our lives, doesn't he? He still lives in us. He lives among us and spiritually among us. And yet I wonder, are there times that we don't receive him still? You know, even today, we see his work. We see his peace, his grace in our lives and the lives of others. We see the way he does things in the lives of other people. And yet, sometimes I think we still don't receive him. We still don't accept him into our lives. Now, we're believers, we're Christians, but we don't receive what he has done for us. You know, I want to challenge you first this evening to remember that Jesus is there, to receive him in your life, to realize that he is still among us, still working. Despite what you face or what others face, know that he is real and real among us. But then we get into really the thrust of this passage that I want to talk about, and that is verses 11 and 12, where it talks about the idea of him being received and not being received. And it tells us, verse 11, that he came into his own and his own received him not. By his own, of course, it's just talking about the Jewish people. They were the chosen people of God, the chosen race of God. Jesus was a Jewish person. He was born a Jew. And they would have been the ones to understand the Messiah, the prophecy of the Messiah. And so he came to them. But yet, even though they studied the Old Testament, even though they studied Isaiah, and even though they studied about who Christ was, the Messiah was to be, they didn't receive Jesus as the Messiah for all the things I've mentioned already. They didn't believe who he was. They ignored him as Christ. In fact, there are still people today that are of Jewish descent looking for the Messiah still in our day. They would not receive the truth that Christ was the Messiah. Even though he performed miracles, even though he preached, and even though many came to know him and believe in him and follow him, there were still many that would not receive him. And again, for you and I today, we cannot fall into that trap. We must receive Christ, and we must be willing to receive Christ into our lives to know that he is real, to know that he is there for us. But I really want to focus on verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. To as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, to those that would believe on his name. You see, even though there were many that did not believe, even though there were many that would not receive him into their lives, there were some that did. You think about the disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, etc., those men. We think about even Mary and Martha and Lazarus and those that believed on him. We think about, well, his family didn't at first, but they eventually did. But you think about those people, the tax collectors, that Zacchaeus and people like that, that he touched and had a relationship with and touched in some way. And the woman at the well and the villagers of Samaritan, the Samaritan village that the woman at the well was a part of, was a member of. You think about those people, the people he witnessed to, the people that he ministered to, that received him as Messiah, that believed in him as the Christ. There's countless, and time after time again in the Gospels, we read about people that gave their life to Christ, the man born blind, etc., the centurion and the centurion's household, remember the man that was raised, his son was saved from the sickness and raised from the brink of death to full health, and the centurion and all his health, it tells us, house believed in him. And remember when he turned the water into wine, and it said the servants were in awe of what he did, and they believed in him and told others what happened. I mean, time after time again, there were people, as many as didn't believe, there were many that did believe. There were those that did receive him as Messiah. Not everyone rejected him. Some did understand. Some did receive that light that shines in the darkness, and that is the light of Christ. They received him. And it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. You see, for us today, there are many of us here tonight, and maybe it's true that all of us here tonight have received Christ as our Savior. We've asked Christ into our lives. We've understood that we are sinners. We've understood that we need a Savior, that we need God to save us, and we understand that Christ is that salvation. That His sacrifice 2,000 years ago almost, that sacrifice that He made, is the one that is perfect and the one that will save us from our sins, to remove our sins from our lives, and we have believed in Him. We have received Him into our lives. And when we think about that, when you think about the fact that you have received Christ, look at what it tells us in verse 12 that happened. To them he gave to be the power. He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that would believe on his name. For you and I here tonight, if it's all of us, if it's some of us, if it's most of us, I don't know. I would hope all. And if it's not all, I hope by the end of tonight it will be all. But for those of us that have received Christ and believed in him, he has given us the power to become the sons of God. You know, that in and of itself is power. That in and of itself is a privilege. To have the title, the Son of God. To be a son, a child of God. Now, there is nothing salvific about us in that we cannot save other people. We are not perfect. We are not sinless. We are not God or the Messiah. And that's not what I'm preaching. But we belong to God. We have that inheritance of God. We are co-heirs with the Savior Jesus Christ, because we believe in Him. He helps us to believe, and He gives us the power to believe, and He gives us the power to live in our lives. We have that power to live. We have that power to stand against evil. We have the power to obey God and to follow Him. God has given you, as a believer, the power to be the sons of God. That power that created heaven and earth, that power that can save a lost sinner, the power that can perform any miracle, has been given to you to be the son and daughters of God. We are the children of God. We are born of God, verse 13 tells us. We're born not of blood, it's not of man, it's not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. There's nothing that wills us into salvation. There's nothing that wills us away from sin. There's no blood that can take us away from sin, save, except for the blood of Christ. We were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. We are born of God, and by the blood of Christ, we are saved. We have been given that salvation. And we need to receive that. We need to believe in that. We need to accept that into our lives and know that that salvation has come to us and that salvation is real. And we have the power of God in our hands and in our disposal. And I wondered about you tonight. Do you have that salvation in you? Have you received salvation? Have you received the forgiveness of Christ? And have you received that power of God that makes you a son of God, a child of God? Do you walk in the ways of God? Do you understand that you've received Him, that He is real, that He is real among you, that He is still in your life, still working your life? Do you receive that? Or do you live your own life, ignoring that Christ is there, ignoring that Christ is reality? We need to learn to receive Christ in our lives. We need to learn to receive that power of God in our lives so that we can be the Christians that God has called us to be. Our invitation tonight is number 165, and I don't know what God has done in your life, but to those who believe, to those that receive Him, He gave the power to become the Son and sons of God. If you want to be a child of God tonight, if you want to live your life as a child of God, and maybe you're already saved, today is the day that you turn into that power, that you plug into it, and you use it in your life to serve Him and to worship Him. I pray that tonight, if you've not received Christ, that you will. And if you have received Christ, that you will live that power of God that He has put in you. Father, we do thank You for Your love for us. And we thank You for the forgiveness of our sins. And God, I know that I've fallen so short of Your glory, and I ask that You forgive me for all the things I've done against You. I know, dear God, that we do fall short. We do miss out on things. We do things we shouldn't. And sometimes we don't live that we've received You into our lives. Sometimes, God, we don't live in such a way that it has changed us, made us something new, made us something different in our lives. Sometimes we don't realize that You, Jesus, are still working among us, still working in us. And I just pray, God, I just pray tonight that we will live in that way, that we will turn our attention, our hearts, our loves, our love, everything about us will be turned in honor and glory to You. God, just be with this invitation tonight. Speak to all of us, and may Your will be done. And it's all these things we ask and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.